Criticizing is easy. Creating takes class. It's so easy for us to go around and tell other people what they should do and how they should do it. It's so easy for us to tell people, never cut ropes. Always keep them long, because then the next job you're going to want to have it long, and you don't want to have a lot of knots. Because when you're pulling ropes with knots through them, it is not as pleasant as pulling a rope that's just as clean as whistle. You ask any cowboy. Now, when you talk to cowboys about ropes, the cowboy will tell you the rope is his best friend. Not his wife, not his girlfriend, not his horse, but his rope. Because with his rope, he captures the doggies. He lassos the doggies. He puts his rope out and he gets it going in a circle and shoom, right, or off for the legs. And the little guy flips over on his back, and the cowboy's got him under control. And then he comes the rope again, and if there were knots in there, he just couldn't do it. And that rope must be stiff but limber. How they had it stiff but limber, I don't know. That's what it must be. I have talked with a lot of cowboys, and their first love affair is with a rope. And cowboys love their ropes. They can tell their rope from a mile off, because it gets all their loving attention. They stroke their rope. They love their rope. Their rope is very important. Now, I tell you this not because I want you to love your rope, but I tell you this because that's being creative. That's being creative with your rope. That's being creative with any object that you're working with or anything that you're working with. Now, Sylvia says, well, why don't you go and learn, spreadsheet. Why don't you go learn spreadsheet so we can use the spreadsheet to do these things and that? And I think to myself, just learning spreadsheet won't be the answer. After you learn spreadsheet, then you got to learn where to put these things and how to put them and what programs, and then where to have the addition and subtraction and the multiplication and where these things are to flow. And they sell programs already that have all that stuff already defined in it for whatever type of business you want. And so I say, we buy a program, and then we have Sylvia take a course on how to do it. And the course would be right in her own office. And she would just take the course, take the thing, and work it over, and work it over, and work it over, and work it over, and work it over. And then she'd have Ellen, then she would invite Anita in to teach her how to do it. And she would teach Anita, because we teach best what we most need to learn. And then she would invite Ingeborg in separately to teach Ingeborg once she learned how to teach Anita. And then she'd invite Ellen in and teach Ellen. And then she'd invite me in and teach me. But by the time she gets to me, she's an exquisite teacher. And by the time she gets to me, she knows it so well that she is a Jan Stalder, going so fast that nobody could catch up. You know, and people who know their work so well, they don't realize that other people are kind of slow catching on to these things. But that's the way it goes. Criticizing is easy, but creating, that takes class. Now, what would happen if Sylvia taught herself how to do this program that comes ready-made, but you still have to learn what to do? What would happen to her if she did this? Would she say, Ellen, I'll take over the bookkeeping for you? And what would you say? Would you say, go for it? Go for it. Now, that doesn't mean you do anything less. All the things you're presently doing, you do that too. And the bookkeeping. Now, hush up, yeah. Now, you see, when Stefan was here, Stefan wanted to do everything. He wanted to be the bookkeeper. He wanted to be the president. He wanted to be the abbot. He wanted to take care of all these responsibilities. And then all of a sudden he realized, hey, I've had it up to here. I'm drowning in this stuff. And so we told him, back off a little bit, give some jobs to some other people, let them do these things. But he couldn't do that. But what he did do was he backed off a little bit. And in the backing off, he took a new view of what he was doing, and he realized that it really wasn't that difficult. He had made it difficult because he had experiences in the bank, and in the bank, if a penny's missing, it's just like $1 million is missing. because that penny has to be accounted for. Somewhere the system is not doing the job, you know. Somewhere the system has mislaid that penny, and that penny is like the little sheep that's missing, you know. That penny is just as important as the $1 million. Now, in our bookkeeping system, we're a little more gentle to ourselves. We keep the books generally right, you know. And if there's a penny missing here or there, it doesn't shake us up. We know that somewhere we made a mistake, and for us to find that mistake is much more bother than for us to just write it off. And this is what you have to do sometimes. You have to do it. Now, what that is called is that's called creating. And that takes class, yeah, you know. Criticizing is easy, but creating, that takes class, because you have to create in such a way, yeah, and you have to create in such a way that you don't make a fool of yourself. Because if you're every week and every month going to come up short or long with a penny or a nickel or a dollar, you're going to get in trouble, because you're going to start being careless. And so once a month at least, you're going to have to balance it so the books are completely balanced. And if you balance it as you go along, it works much easier, much, much easier. But I've had people do my books for me over the years, including Lily McGeehan, and she was a professional bookkeeper. And she says, "Herb, how come your books are always perfect? How come your accounting is always perfect? How come your totals at the end are always perfect?" I said, "Because I start out at the end, and then I work my way back through it." You know? And then they're always perfect. And if I were to go the other way, and I made a mistake here or there with my adding machine, which is very easy to do, and oftentimes you're adding away and you forget to push the plus, and you just keep putting other figures on top. Now, so you got a lot of figures. Now, where did that come from? Here, I'm very rich, you know. But you realize that. And so when I was in the Air Force at Olathe Field in Kansas, one part of my job as a cadet was to keep the books on all the guys' time, of the flying hours they had and the programs they had. And we had an argument, another guy and I, and the argument was who could use the adding machine, it's a 10-key machine, who could use the adding machine fastest, and who could keep two adding machines going at one time and be accurate. Well, we worked at it, and we'd go like, figures, and we were good. We were, in our 19, 20 or something like that, and we were just going, and I was very excellent at it. I could work 10 fingers with left or right hand, and, you know, that takes a little manipulation in your brain. But we had such a fun time, and the guys would come in and say, you guys are crazy, that's hard work. No, it's fun. It's a challenge. And they'd see us and the smoke coming out of our machines. Sometimes we had to trade them in and get new ones because we used them so completely. This was back in the days when they were less sophisticated than today. And you had paper tabs coming out of them and stuff like that. But that was something that was so creative and so charming that we challenged each other, and to this day I love it, and to this day I'm sure he does, whoever he is and wherever he is. But people you meet like that and very close to you, and you know, you have a very good relationship with them, but you have nothing in common other than the things that you're doing. And so when you're separated, then you have no reason to contact each other again. Some people in service do that. They contact each other after they get out because they were in boot camp together, or they were doing this together or doing that together, or they had some deep, meaningful relationship between them where one of them had someone in their family die and the other was a very friendly, meaningful person, compassionate, and he just never forgot that this person was there for him when he needed it, you know. And so they have friends that go way back. Bill McMahon, Marie's husband, is like that. He and Bill McDaniels were on the same aircraft, the same destroyer together. And they were out in the South Pacific and everywhere. And on the destroyer, you live very close together. You have so many bunks in tight places, and you get to know each other very well. And people who are not nice are discarded, and people who are nice and really good people, you know them right away. So they didn't criticize the people who were not nice. They just ostracized them. They just laid them aside and let them do their thing. And all the guys that were nice, they were creatively working together doing this here. Creating takes class. And they were being, you know, full of class and full of genius as they worked together. But what does it mean to be full of class? And to be creative, it means you're full of class. What does that mean? Do you think that that means that you are superior? Or that means that you are refined? You are better than somebody else? Or does it mean that you do with joy whatever you do? Mm-hmm. Creating with class is creating with joy, and creating with enthusiasm, creating with delight, creating with imagination, creating with running two adding machines at the same time, you know, and keeping up the figures correctly. And that really is a creating activity which showed class. I mean, my gosh, in the entire Air Force, I don't think there were two other people who did what we did. Mm-hmm. They weren't crazy like we were. They did other things, I'm sure, and did them very nicely too. But when you create with class, you are creating using all your imagination, all your empowerment, all of your joy. And when you're criticizing, what you're doing is you're tearing down yourself. Because whatever you criticize, it means that's your reflection that you don't like. And if you criticize something in another person, you're criticizing your observation of that experience, or your reflection of that experience, or that experience which is who you are. And we want to be very careful about that, because to criticize merely means that we are giving ourselves a hard time, and we're making life rather difficult for ourselves, and taking away all the fun that we could be having and we could be enjoying. You know? That's what it's all about. Criticizing is easy. It's really easy to see faults in ourselves, kick ourselves around the block for some stupid thing we did, you know, or belittle ourselves for something that we did. And hey, don't. You're empowering the negative. If you have done something stupid, you stop and say, so it is. Now, this is how I will do it from here on. This is how I will act from here on. Not saying the other was wrong, but this is a more satisfying experience for me. Now, are you able to do that in your life? Are you able to do that in your experience? I think you all are. And I think you all are doing it now, because you're having fun and you're being yourself. And that's what it's all about. And I love you very, very much.